So just last Sunday, Will and I were able to attend a trapeze class, as you just saw. There's a place called Skyline Trapeze, Dallas Circus Center, which got me the nickname by some staff, Circus Boy, this week. But I signed Will and myself up for a class so we can actually see and feel what it is like to let go. Now, most of trapeze all centers around the flying and the catching. So all the moves that they teach that you saw us doing there is to lead up and to build up to us letting go, flying, and being caught. Now, in the class, the most important person to us was the catcher. Okay? The catcher gives us a whole list of instructions. You could hear him in that video. And he tells us that when the moment comes to get caught, we are to look for him, to stretch out our arms toward him, and then to hold our hands perfectly still and our thumbs as far from our fingers as we can, like this. Okay? Our only job in that moment is to give him a good target. Now, we're placing our trust completely in his hands and his ability to hold on to us. And we're trusting that when the moment comes, he'll want to catch us and he'll be able to catch us. So we climb the ladder and we get up on the platform, and as the trapeze bar comes to us, the catcher tells us we have to lean out to reach the bar, you know, and they're kind of holding on to us, and they said, "Don't worry, we got you." It's like, I don't want to lean out into space. Okay, I think leaning out is a stupid idea. You know, I want to lean back, right? And I want to lean on my own 2 feet. Then he tells us to kind of take the leap of faith. So we hop up and we're swinging through the air. And as we're doing, the catcher is giving us directions. You know, arch your back, point your toes, swing your feet up, keep your arms straight, look for me. Our job is to listen, to wait, and to trust and do what he tells us to do exactly when he tells us to do it. It's all about the proper timing. So after several rounds of practicing these moves leading up to the catch, we get to the moment of truth. Hanging in the air from the bar by our legs, we stretch out our hands and look for the catcher. And he tells us to let go of the bar. I don't want to let go of the bar. In my mind, I'm just fine swinging back and forth, right? I'm good. I'm safe. No need to let go, right? What is it in your life that's preventing you from letting go of your own understanding and trusting God this morning? Because in reality, there are many reasons why we don't want to let go. One of those reasons might be that God's way, sure, it makes sense, but we're just not willing to pay the price. God's way is going to cost us too much. And so we hold on to our own way of thinking, our own way of doing things. Maybe all your friends are going to see a movie that you know you shouldn't be watching. You're afraid of what they might think or say if you don't go. You're afraid of standing out and being mocked. You're afraid of losing some of those friends. So your desire for your friends' acceptance prevents you from letting go and trusting God. Another reason might be that God's way just doesn't make sense to us. You clearly feel God leading you to a different job or even a different career. But it would mean a significant pay cut. On paper, when looking at the budget, it just doesn't seem to work. You're afraid of losing some of the luxuries that you currently enjoy. You're afraid of being able to provide for your family the way you have been. You're afraid that it just won't be enough. It just doesn't make sense, Lord. And so your desire for certain standards of living prevents you from letting go and trusting God. That was my story a few years when I first felt God leading me to seminary. So as I mentioned in the video, we're going to talk about letting go today. What does it mean to let go? What does that look like? And our text this morning, as we continue through portions of the wisdom literature this summer, comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and the words will be on the screen for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. this text is striking in its simplicity. I mean, there's nothing really difficult about it. It's so simple that it can be understood by the youngest believer, and yet it is a comfort to the oldest of saints, and it's good for all Christians in between. Now, I'm assuming that most of us have known these verses for a very long time, but sometimes when we know a passage so well, we almost know it too well. We know it so much that we've really never stopped to think about what its words are really saying. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And we're going to focus on three things today. Okay? We're going to look at two commands directed to the child of God. They're our responsibility. And then we'll see a promise for us, a simple declaration of God's promise, his part of the covenant, if you will. So two commands followed by a promise. Okay? Two commands and a promise. Command number one, trust God entirely. Trust God entirely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, the word trust, that's a word that in the Hebrew means to lean with the full body, to lay upon, to throw oneself down upon. But in our thinking today, the word trust simply means to rely upon, to have confidence in. But the Hebrew word is much stronger than that. It carries the idea of putting or of prostrating your full weight onto something. So to trust in the Lord then is to lay your whole weight upon him, much like a flyer does with his catcher in trapeze. This is a picture of complete dependence and submission to God. Our text says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the same way as saying completely or entirely. Remember, a few weeks ago, we had a heart checkup, and we mentioned at that time that in the Old Testament, and particularly in Solomon's writings, that when they talk about the heart, it rarely refers to that physical organ in your chest. Rather, it refers to our inner being, our core of decision-making, the center of our mind, our emotions, our will. It is the real you, because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So when God calls us to trust him with all of our heart, he's calling for total trust with every fiber of our being. Unwavering obedience. Absolute dependence. We are to trust in the Lord entirely in every aspect of our lives. At the heart of who we are commanded to trust in the Lord. But why? Why should we trust in the Lord? So many scriptures we can turn to, but let me just read for you from Romans 11, where Paul talks about the nature of God's wisdom. And he puts it this way, Romans 11, starting in verse 33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God's ways are so beyond us, incomprehensible. He says the reason you should trust in the Lord is because his wisdom is beyond our ability to even conceive it. His wisdom is beyond our ability to conceive it. When you get a chance later today or later this week, for that matter, read Job 28, verse 12 through 23. Job says, I'm looking for wisdom. Where can I find it? I've looked to the people. I couldn't find it there. I've looked to the depths of the sea. I couldn't find it there. I've looked to the sky. I couldn't find it there. He says, I could not find wisdom among the living. Nothing. Nothing around me could give me wisdom. And then in verse 23 of Job 28, he says, but God. God understands the way to wisdom, and he alone knows where wisdom dwells. So another reason we should trust in the Lord is because his wisdom is infinite. Infinite wisdom. I'm afraid far too many believers today believe in a God they don't trust. We all affirm the existence of God, and if you're a believer, you affirm the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. And yet, there seems to be a disconnect from our faith in Christ to get us to heaven and our trust in Christ to navigate us here on earth. There seems to be a disconnect. And I'd like to suggest that many of us, maybe even most of us, don't fully trust him. And one of the proofs that we don't trust him is trust in God, even though we say we believe in him, is that we turn to other sources first to address life's problems. You see, what we trust is where we'll go first. If we want to know if we trust in the Lord, we just need to answer the question, where do we go first when it comes to navigating our lives? Unfortunately, most of us start with ourselves and work back to God. We start with what we think, what our perception is, what our orientation. And when that doesn't work, then we say, well, let's try God. I believe there'd be a lot less pain in life if we would just start with God instead of starting with us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And to not lean on our own understanding means that we will not give first priority to our own limited perspective. In other words, don't depend on you. Don't depend on you. Trusting in God entirely means not leaning on our own understanding, because human understanding is flawed by sin. And human understanding is limited in its scope by finiteness. And this is where it gets tough, because there are many times, as I mentioned earlier, where God's way just doesn't seem to make sense to us. For instance, let's look at a few other Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. God says to give to him first. But our understanding and the world's understanding says, well, wait a minute. I need to meet my bills and expenses and needs first. And then with whatever's left over, I'll give to God. No, God says to give to him first. Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and he will deliver you. Man, if someone wrongs me, my own understanding and the world's understanding says, I'm going to get them back. God's way says, no, wait for the Lord. Proverbs 28, 13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. God's way says to confess your sins and renounce them. Our understanding and the world's understanding says to hide and conceal them. Sometimes God's ways just don't make sense to us, do they? Kids, or those of you who are in school, it comes time to take a test. You're worried that you might bomb it. You haven't prepared very well for the test. You're afraid of what your parents will say or do when you get that bad grade. You're concerned about the GPA. Why not cheat? Our understanding and the world understands that everyone else does, and they rarely get caught. You probably wouldn't get caught. And just study for the next one. Your parents will be happy. Your GPA will go up. Go our way or trust God's way? I have a friend whose dream was to become a police officer. After spending some time in the military, he applied to the local precinct of which he lived. So first was the written test. Nailed it. Then came the physical. Passed with flying colors. Then the third test, the polygraph. For those of you who don't know, polygraph is a lie detecting test. They hook you up to some devices, and they ask you a bunch of questions, and they can see fairly accurately whether you're lying or not with your answers. So they begin asking him questions, and he's feeling pretty good, and, you know, I got this. And then they ask him if he's ever broken the law, caught or uncaught. When he was younger, he had broken the law. But in that moment, his own understanding said that if he told the truth and said yes, he wouldn't get the job. So he lied. And he said, no, I didn't break the law. But when the results came back, they showed that he was being deceptive on that question. So they asked him again, since it's not 100% accurate. They asked him again, and he knew that. And he said, no, I haven't broken the law. Well, the following day, he was feeling guilty and convicted of what he had done. So he went to the precinct and he confessed what he did. He didn't get the job. And we don't know whether he would have gotten it, whether he told the truth in the first place or not. But in that moment, while taking the test, he chose to rely on his own understanding rather than to let go and trust God. Like the trapeze video. If you remember, there were a couple of times where we were instructed to let go and we didn't, because we didn't want to, or we weren't quite ready to let go yet. Our understanding said to hold on at least a little bit longer. It's safer, more secure, just swinging there. See, it's hard to let go of our own understanding, our own way of thinking and doing things, isn't it? Maybe we can come to agreement, you know, sometimes or maybe most of the time trust in the Lord and then the other times lean on ourselves. You know, after all, God gave us a pretty complex brain and common sense, right? No, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We are commanded to trust God entirely with all our hearts, completely, entirely, no exceptions. We must trust God entirely. Lean on him and not ourselves or anybody we know. Okay, so command number one, trust God entirely. Command number two is this, trust God intimately. Trust God intimately. Beginning of verse 6 says what? In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge. I think that word acknowledge doesn't do full justice to the original text. In the Hebrew, this word is an imperative form of the verb to know. So it can be translated, in all your ways, know him. And the underlining Hebrew word means to know deeply and intimately. It's the kind of knowing that comes with personal experience. It means to know something through and through. For instance, somebody might say, do you know the President of the United States? I would say, sure, I know the President of the United States. And what I mean is that if he walked in the room, I would know who he is. And if I were in a room and heard his voice coming over the TV, I would recognize his distinctive voice of the President of the United States. Right? Or if I picked up a newspaper and I saw his picture on the front page, I would say, I know who that is. I know that man. That's the President of the United States. Now, I don't really know him. I can't pick up the phone and call the White House and say, hey, Donald, this is Andy. Let's do lunch this week. No, he wouldn't take my call because I don't know him personally. I just know him at the level of head knowledge. I don't know him intimately or on a friendship level. And there's another way of knowing. I know my wife and she knows me in a completely different way, right? We've known each other intimately for 13 years. And after being together that long, strange things begin to happen, right? And if you've been married 20, 30, 40, or 50 years, you can attest to this even more than I can. But you'll be sitting there thinking about a song, and she'll start singing it. How does that happen? Or you'll be thinking about a question, and before you ask it, she blurts out the answer. How did she do that? Or you'll start a sentence, and to your great frustration, she'll finish the sentence before you do. And when you say, how can you do that? She just says with a smile, I know what you're thinking before you even say it. Things like that happen to most married couples eventually. Because when you live together that long, you get to know each other at such a deep level that you just don't know each other on the outside. You actually begin to know what that person is thinking as they're thinking it, or what they're going to say before they say it, or do before they do it, because you have a deep, personal, intimate knowledge of each other. So seen in that light, well, we might translate the first part of verse 6 as, in all your ways, know God intimately. In all your ways, know God deeply. In all your ways, know God personally. In every area of your life, know God intimately, deeply, and personally. Rather than leaning on the human crutches of our own insights and skills, we are commanded to know God's mind, his character, his values, his attributes, his promises, his plan. Because it's hard to trust someone you don't know, isn't it? The Bible says, in all your ways, know him intimately, know him deeply, and know him personally. So often we skip this. When we get up in the morning, we say, God, help us. I'm so busy today. I've got a lot of stuff to do, and I don't even have time to pray. So here's my list. Bless it all, Lord. I've got to go. And we throw our list up to heaven as we run out the door. And what we're saying is, God, here's my schedule. Rubber stamp it with your blessing, please. And we wonder why our days are filled with frustration. Many of us want to go through life leaning almost completely on our own understanding. Now, this passage is a warning to all of us control freaks who lay out life the way we want it and then say, here, God, you stamp it with your blessing because I'm going to go out and do it for you. God says, no, I don't work that way. He says, you need to know me first. Put me first in everything, including all your plans, all your thinking, all your scheming. Put me first, God says. In everything you do, know God. But we all want a formula, right? Andy, I don't like that. Give me a formula. Give me 3 steps. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us that the secret is a relationship with God. But we want a formula. Let's look at it this way. Guys, when you were dating your wives before you got married, wouldn't it have been nice to have a 3-step formula from her that told you exactly what she was thinking and what she wanted or where she wanted to go on that date that night? Wouldn't that be nice? But how do you think she would have felt if you told her you needed a formula to find out what she liked? Angry? Upset? Frustrated, shocked, probably your last date with her. Because what she really wants is for you to simply spend time with her, get to know her, find out what she likes and doesn't like. You see, we do the same thing with our relationship with God. We want to reduce our relationship to a formula. Give me 3 steps so I will know what to do. God says, know me. Spend time with me. Put me first in every area of your life. God is saying, I want to know you just as much out there as you do in here. I want you to know me on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, just as much as you do on Sunday morning at 10:45. Trust God intimately. And how do we do that? The Word and prayer. Through God's word and through prayer. It's amazing to think how many of us don't use the word of God when it comes to navigating life or when it comes to a decision in life. We'll come to hear a sermon on Sunday morning, but we don't use the word when it comes to a decision at work or at school during the week. You see, the only way to know God in every area of our life is by knowing his word and by spending time with him in prayer. In all your ways, know him. So command number 1 was to trust God entirely. Command number 2 was to trust God intimately. 2 commands directed to the children of God. They're our responsibility. Trust God entirely and trust God intimately. Now let's look at God's part of the covenant, the promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And here it is. He will make your path straight. God promises to direct our paths. God promises to direct our paths. God is able to remove the obstacles in front of you. He is able to fill in the potholes and turn a dead end into a shortcut. But we rarely see this in advance. We only see the potholes or the boulders block our view. Many times it seems as if there's no path at all. But he will make a way. Now, no one can say how he'll do that. There are thousands of ways in which God leads his children. He leads us through delays. He leads us through detours. He leads us through miracles, through the advice of friends, unexpected opportunities. He leads us through suddenly closed doors, through answered prayer, unanswered prayer, inner impressions, a still small voice in the night. He leads us in many different ways, doesn't he? An old hymn says, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? He through life has been my guide." See, we don't see it on this side. On this side, we see the problems. But when we trust God entirely and trust God intimately, he leads us step by step. And when the journey is done and we look back, we say, "I don't know how I got from there to here, but I do know this. Jesus led me all the way." He will lead the way. Now, let me just pause briefly and remind us who the he of verse 6 really is. Okay, the he is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who spoke and 1,000,000,000 galaxies sprang into being, the God who knows or numbers the grain of sand, the God who knows the hairs on your head, the God who sees the sparrow when it falls, the God who holds the universe in his hand, that God, the almighty, transcendent God of the universe, he will direct our paths. He will direct our paths. That's the God who says, "If you will but know me, I will take care of the details. Trust me. Rest your full weight on me. Know me in everything. Let go. And I, the God of the universe, will direct your paths." If God has said he will lead us, then why are we so fearful? If God has said he will take up our cause, then why are we worried about tomorrow? No enemy can stop us if he leads the way. No opposition can derail us if he leads the way. And no obstacle can stand forever if he leads the way. In all our ways, trust God entirely and trust God intimately, and he will direct our paths. He has promised, and it is so. Now, it might not be easy. Probably won't be. It may not be exactly the way we want to go. It may not be what seems to us to be the shortest way, but he will direct our paths. All he says is to trust him entirely and to trust him intimately in every area of our lives. And he will take care of the rest. We started this message with a video of Will and I taking a trapeze class. And I mentioned earlier that all of trapeze is about the flying and the catching. That everything taught is to lead you to be able to let go, fly, and be caught. The thing about flying and catching is that the catcher does all the work. The flyer doesn't do anything except listen and let go. So at the class, they told us that the flyer, that was us, is simply to stretch out his arms and hands and wait for the catcher to catch him. And you see, one of the worst things a flyer can do is to try and catch the catcher. If the flyer tries to grab the catcher's wrist, they both could get seriously hurt. A flyer must fly and a catcher must catch. And the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him. You see the picture? We're the flyers. God's the catcher.